Now, when you want to find something out, when you want to develop your clairvoyant senses, during the exercise, you don't think about what you want to know. Because if you think about what you want to know, you won't find out what you want to know because you'll be too busy thinking about what you want to know. So that's why we introduce a medium in between ourselves and that which we want to know. It's a kind of a distraction, but it also leads us someplace in this case. So what I'd like you to do is to imagine this sphere of light. It can be any size you want. It can be thousands of meters across. It can be a few feet, a few inches. Size is not important. And you don't have to ask yourself a question. You can practice that at home, or you can if you want to. But let's say you would like to know something. Okay. Meaning, you would like to know what someone thinks about you, really. Okay? You would like to know, would it really be beneficial to purchase this particular car? Would it really be beneficial to ask this person to marry you? Would it really be beneficial to... Or it could have to do with other things. You might like to see into a particular plane of attention. You might like to understand something that happened to you in your past so you can overcome some of your conditioning. Whatever it is, you would think of it first. Then forget about it. Don't ponder it over and over, because that will interfere with the seeing process. In seeing, we must become absolutely precise and clear. And then simply imagine, again, you don't have to see a picture, the sphere I have described. It's like a glass sphere, a sphere of light. It's filled with light. The light changes constantly within it. You don't have to picture it, but just know that it's there. And then I want you to meld your mind with that sphere. Simply feel that your mind and that sphere are coming closer and closer together, and that your mind is entering the sphere, or vice versa, until your mind actually becomes that sphere. And then just dwell in that place for a couple of minutes. And after that, you will know whatever it was you sought to know with clarity. Your mind may doubt it. Now, again, you may get this information, and afterwards you'll say, well, that couldn't be, or that's not. Those are your doubts. And you can listen to them if you choose. Naturally, you should experiment a little bit with this before basing any great decisions upon it, only because it takes a while to learn how to clear yourself properly. Once you clear yourself properly, it's very easy to do, to know whatever you need to know in life. Naturally, if you have conflicting desires, okay, you want to buy the new Ferrari. You know you can't afford it. You meditate on the sphere. Should I buy the Ferrari? The obvious answer is, no way, Harry. Okay. And you know that, and you get mad, and you say, well, that can't be the right answer, because it's conflicting with your desire. You say, well, what did you expect? Why ask? You already know what you want to hear. But if you reach the point where you are open to other possibilities, like the truth, then this works. It's dandy. That's a good word. Okay, let's try it. Let's not think of anything that you want to know. Let's just practice focusing on the sphere. Close your eyes, please. Just think of the sphere. Imagine a huge field of light, an ocean of light, an eternity of light. And there's a sphere in it, which has compacted light in it, which shifts constantly. It's clear, yet it is luminous. And what you want to do is feel gradually. There's no special technique for doing it except wanting it. You must feel gradually that your mind is melding with the sphere and the sphere with your mind until there's no difference. And then just abide in that state for just a couple of minutes. When thoughts come in and out of your mind, ignore them. Feel that these are the thoughts of your surface mind. They have nothing to do with the sphere. The sphere will not give you thoughts as such. It'll rather just be feelings. Don't try and understand them. Just let them enter you, and you enter it, until a kind of completion takes place. And then you will disengage automatically at the right time, just after a couple of minutes. We'll play a little music while we do this. Yes? Good. visualizes fear, just think of it. You don't have to see it. It's there in another dimension. Good. I'd like to answer a few questions and get into some areas that you might be interested in. The psychic is such a vast area to explore. There's so many things, so many avenues to pursue, and I'm sure you have particular interests. So what I'd like you to do is, if you have a question, to raise your hand, and I'll do the best I can to answer perhaps not only the question you're asking, but another one that I might see that another part of you is asking, which is, of course, how one does it in the psychic world, yes? Well, obviously the first protection, if you meet somebody and you're psychic and they have what we would call bad energy, they are in fact low vibe, as we say in the trade, which is not a judgment but an observation. What can you do to protect yourself? Well, the first thing obviously is being able to see it. If you don't see it, then you won't know it, but they will still affect you. So your seeing is very, very important. It's very unfortunate when you can't see it, because if you can't see it naturally, you know, it's like you sit down next to someone and they have some disease and you can't see it, but it communicates to you and then you get sick. See, if you knew, you could have avoided the situation. So the real way to avoid the situation is not simply to see it when you see them physically, but to see it when you got up that day and avoid the encounter. That's the very best, if it's going to be a serious problem. So, for example, you're about to get on the 405 freeway, but if you're psychic, you can see that there's going to be a problem down on the freeway, so you take another route. Okay, that's one possibility. But there are times when that can't happen, or something else is supposed to happen. So, for example, I saw that it was going to rain tonight, months ago, when we booked this workshop. Okay, and I've, you know, told many of the people I work with that, you know, don't be disappointed if it rains, and so on and so forth, because, you know, it's inevitable. Now, one could say, well, great, Rama, big deal. So you could see it was going to rain. Didn't do you any good, did it? And I would say, right. Except that I also saw that the night to have the first in a series of three workshops was on the 7th of January in 1985, and that was much more important than the rain, which would, you know, offset or make more difficult attendance for some people. Because I could see that on the 7th, the energies would be in a certain state to provide the kind of workshop that we were supposed to do. Or you could say that I just saw that that's when it was going to happen, because that was the future. So it really didn't matter a damn what I wanted, because that was destiny. Or you could say that there are multiple destinies, and you can pick and choose different ones. But picking the right destiny does not always mean picking the most pleasant, but picking the one that's the most truthful, and on and on and on. So it just depends on what level of perception you're looking at. So coming back to your question, what can you do when you run into somebody who has bad energy? The best thing to do is to go quickly in the other direction. If you can't do that, if you need to be near them, try and put physical distance between yourself and that individual. Okay, it's like a radio transmitter. If you're close to the transmitter, it's more intense. Okay, 50 miles away, you may not even hear the station. 25, it'll be very loud. So the human aura has a radiation factor. There's an energy factor. And distance makes a terrific difference, particularly within about a 4-foot or 3-foot radius, a person's aura is the strongest. You'll notice sometimes when you run into somebody who wants to give you a hard time, they walk right up to you and they put their face in yours, you know. They're just going to let all that hate and anger or whatever it is they're doing just zoom into your psyche. So if you just step back a foot or two, it makes a tremendous difference. Also, by creating a little bit of physical distance, you're creating also a psychic cut between yourself and that individual. The people who affect you the most are the ones you love. This is the rule of the psychic study. The people you have to be most careful of are not strangers. They affect you the least. In order for a person to have a very powerful effect upon you psychically, you have to be emotionally open to that individual. So someone you trust, someone you're concerned with, someone you love, these are the individuals who can affect you the most. That's why in families there's so many problematic situations from the psychic point of view, or in love relationships or things like that. Because we open ourselves up to a person because there's one side of them that we love, but then there may be another side or a subconscious self or another self that's antagonistic or has problems or whatever. So we take in both energies. So if it's a stranger, it's not too much of a problem. You just have to feel relatively detached, and it'll bounce off. You'll survive. You know, go home, meditate, take a shower. You'll feel better. Water is very important. Water neutralizes psychic energy. Okay, if you have a bad encounter, if you went to a power place and let's say that things didn't go well there, you know, you went out to the desert or something, or you just dealt with a lot. If you're in a job where you deal with the public a lot, if you're a physician, okay. You deal with people physically, if you touch them a lot, you're in proximity, it's a good idea to take a lot of showers because it neutralizes negative psychic energy. Living by water is always a very good idea, if possible. Things like that, but water is also a reflector of psychic energy too, which is why many power places are near water. So I would only be concerned about avoid the situation if you can. If you can't avoid the situation, just go with it and just try and be polite, you know. Read Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People. He gives lots of useful strategies for dealing with difficult people and situations. And that'll probably take care of it. If it's someone you are close to emotionally and they're not in a good phase, then the situation is a little bit more complex, and what's necessary is to become very detached. Which doesn't mean that you don't love someone. It just means that at this time, their behavior is not acceptable to you, their inner behavior. So what you do is you just shut off a little switch for a while and you put a little wall up, which says, I'm on the other side of this wall, I love you very much, but it's not going to help me or help you to allow you to hurt me. As a matter of fact, you'll just engender a lot of bad karma for yourself. So I'm just going to withdraw for a while and hang out. And then when you're in a better mood, we'll try again. And if you're not, we won't. You see, I love you, but I don't think that what you're doing is right. You see, it's not with light, or it just doesn't agree with me. So the first thing is, if you're psychic enough, try and avoid the situation. If you're not, but you can see it, you're still in pretty good shape because you know what's going on. And put some distance between yourself, even on a physical level, between yourself and the individual. Try not to get emotionally involved. As soon as you open your emotions, then you're a target. You're easy to take out completely. No problem psychically. Naturally, some people are more powerful than others, and they have a greater effect. Some people have more personal power, and they can use it for good or ill. So you have to try and assess that. Also, it's a very good idea when you first meet people to really scan them very thoroughly, so you won't be surprised later. That doesn't mean that someone won't be your friend. It just means that you see that your friend has various sides. Like all of us, they have their strong points and their weak points. And that way you don't get surprised if the bill shows up in the mail and it's larger than you thought. See, all human relationships are basically contractual battles of power. You know, supremacy, everyone's trying to beat everybody else, to be more powerful, to be in charge of the relationship. There's this constant tug of war on an occult level between people. There's another way to go about it. You can network psychically on a higher level. But most people, of course, don't tend to do that. So if that's what you do, but you're dealing in a world of people who don't do that, it's a very good idea to present an image of yourself that is fairly strong. See, if people pick up on the fact that you're psychic, you see, a lot of psychic people tend to be kind of too nice. And therefore they get pushed around because they think that that's part of being psychic or being spiritual. It has nothing to do with it whatsoever. One can be nice but not be gullible or allow oneself to be injured by others. So it's necessary then to assume to a certain degree a stance of power. Now, this may or may not suit you, but this is what I recommend to my students. And this has a lot to do with the way you dress, the way you speak, In other words, you have to paint a picture for the world, for a world of people who are not necessarily psychically attuned, that is acceptable in their genre of categories of images from the collective unconscious. And if you do that, they won't give you a hard time. In other words, if somebody sees you're a pushover, they're going to push. As again, there's that propensity in human nature, we see it again and again in the world, to destroy the innocent. Remember, it's not this way in all planes and all worlds. This world is not a good representative sample of existence. So be hopeful. That's important to realize. Like I said, it's the tension hall. You know, so what do you expect? Now you're in here for some reason. My friend here said that she sometimes sees the future, maybe when someone is going to die or something like that. Just death? Oh, no. And work on the stock market. You can do wonders at Las Vegas, you know, if you... But anyway, so... What's happening is you have evolution from another lifetime and it's coming back. And you probably didn't do a lot in this life to develop it, right? It's just sort of happening? Right, okay. That's really exciting because that means that there's a lot more to come. But it's a very good idea not to talk to too many people about it because they'll probably burn you. People don't tend to understand. They never have, okay? You're just a little ahead of everyone else, and that can be a problem. So it's a good idea to confine your remarks to individuals who understand, okay? I know some good psychiatrists. No, just teasing. So it's a good idea to confine your remarks to people who understand. The question here, though, is you're coming into, it's like you're coming into an inheritance, okay? You didn't earn the money, or maybe you did in another life, who knows. But in this case, you're inheriting, it's coming in, it's a surprise. You can run through it real fast and have nothing but trendy clothes left to show for it, right? Or you can use it for other purposes, put some of it back into the network, help others, get things for yourself, make more. There are different possibilities. You have a gift. But you need to develop the gift. Also, sometimes, this may not be your experience, but for a lot of people, it's frightening. It's really a strange thing because you begin, not only are you having these visions, but there's a sense that you're changing and you don't understand how or why, and you realize that there's gradually a distance between yourself and other people. In other words, you can see things other people don't. And after a while, it just becomes a common everyday occurrence, but you can feel alienated. That you're sort of out there on your own, by yourself, you see? So that's why it's very important to network with people who are like yourself. You don't want to exclude other people. Your friends are your friends, but it's a good idea to make some new friends, to meet some individuals who are perhaps like yourself, or maybe even a little further along. And then the other possibility, of course, is pursuing the study. And if you pursue the study, you can develop your gift. You see, what's happening to you is happening by itself. But let's say that the psychic stuff that's coming back to you, your ability to see the future, to perceive things, to deal, maybe that's only a portion of it, and that part is coming back easily, but the rest may not come back unless you develop it consciously. So you're a natural to a certain extent. But some people are very upset by that. Or let's say that there's a time in your life, maybe some of you have experienced this, there's a time in your life when you were very psychic, when these visions come, and then if you don't do anything with it, after a while it stops. Now some people are happy about that, they were very disturbed by it. They're leading a typical, you know, bourgeois middle class existence, and suddenly they start to have prophetic visions and see, it doesn't fit into the framework. You know, there's no place in the Cuisinart for it. So for such a person, it really freaks them out, and you know, they just want Mork and Mindy forever. So they're happy when it goes away. But other people aren't necessarily so happy when these abilities go away. So when they're happening is the time to develop them and to channel them properly. And that's why I make you aware of the psychic network. There's a psychic network. And you can tap into it at any time, 24 hours a day, it's there. It's a network of light and energy of people who are like yourself on this planet or further along and in other worlds, who are very, very advanced, who can aid you in your journey. Someday you may meet a teacher, a physical teacher to work with, or you may just tap into the psychic network. Whatever's supposed to happen will happen. But you shouldn't feel alienated and alone. This is a normal part of the growth cycle of a being. And everyone, at one point or another, will go through this experience, and you have many ahead of you that are actually much more wonderful. You're just beginning your journey. You're hearing high-pitched tones.
Yeah.
Okay, what that means is one of two things. You're either going deaf, or, in your case, what's happening is you're changing planes of consciousness. And when you change planes of consciousness, there's a tone. Okay, it's almost a sound that you hear, very high-pitched. Yeah, that's it. You're changing planes of awareness. You're shifting from one awareness level into another. And when during the moment of shifting, you hear that sound.
It happens mostly like in the morning or late at
night. Mm-hmm. That's in the morning or late at night, there's more psychic energy. You see, from 9 to 5, is the psychic net is sort of down a little bit. Because everybody's out there and they're all... But late at night, particularly, from about midnight till 5, the psychic net swings. That's when it really, it cooks from there, yeah. So you'll find normally your experiences will be in that range. One of the biggest mistakes that we see people make in the psychic field, or in self-discovery in general, be it mysticism, psychic development, or spiritual development, we see it in the Enlightenment process too, is what we call an over-focus on the second attention. By that I mean you spend so much time spacing out that you lose touch with life. And it's very, very important not to do that. You have to correlate your development in other spheres of attention with making your mind stronger and stronger, making your life more together, cleaning out your closets, getting your tax forms filed on time, keeping your checkbook balanced, keeping your life in order. Everything in your life, the further out you go, the tighter your life has to be. And when you do that, you avoid a lot of problems. But sometimes you see people, you know, you give a psychic workshop and you see a few people who walk in and they're kind of like looking at the walls. Yeah. These are probably very nice people. Maybe they're architects. Oh well. These are probably very nice people. But what happened was they've just gone out there a little too far. Space brothers. You know? They're just out there a little too far. And they see and perceive a lot of different things, you see? But their problem is that they can't quite relate it all to the world that we live in. In the psychic, we don't want to get stuck in one world or the other. The point is to be able to slide between worlds because there are thousands and thousands of worlds. So you want to be fluid and not get hung up in any one level of attention. That's what I was talking about before. It's like a graceful ballet in the more advanced stages of the study, where you can snap and roll through thousands of levels of attention. You know, they're endless, and not get hung up in any one place. Right? Right.
Like to call in an etheric doctor to help a friend.
An exercise to call in an etheric doctor to help a friend. Listen, the doctors I've seen lately, you wouldn't want to know. No. Psychic healing is a whole other subject. And it's my feeling that the person who needs healing should do the invoking themselves. In other words, if someone is ill, we all get sick from time to time, and one day we die. If that individual feels the need to bring in what we would call help from another plane of attention, they will feel that themselves and they will go after it themselves. For us to interfere with their destiny, unless it's a very young child, is not necessarily a good idea. Because what you may do is channel a force that will aid that person, but perhaps they needed to go through that disease. That was an experience on their karma card, you see? So it's a good idea not to interfere. Let them do it themselves. That's really the best, in my opinion. It's hard when you love somebody. It's hard. Yes.
More details on contacting the psychic network.
Box 404. Well, it's really not so hard to do. Just click your heels 3 times. How do you do it? All you have to do is meditate, focus, think about the network. It's there. It's something that you'll discover. But there is no formal process that you have to go through. In other words, if you practice one of these exercises, okay, that we showed you. For tapping in tonight, we've done 3 primary exercises, and we focused on the third eye, the heart chakra, the 2 primary psychic centers, and of course then we did the exercise with the sphere for clearing oneself. After doing any of those exercises, if you will just feel the network of energy, the psychic network, just open yourself to it, that's a start. During the day, you can think of the network. Think of that energy. Think of those higher beings. Now, the law of supply and demand with the network. If you join the network, okay, there's one thing you're supposed to do, and that's give more than you take. So the way the network works is very simple. All day long, you're going into different stages of awareness. You're thinking different types of thoughts, happy thoughts, sad thoughts. You're frustrated, you're in love, whatever it may be. Once you patch into the network, whatever you think and feel goes into the network and affects everyone on the network. So the law of the network is, the rule of thumb, is always put in more than you take out. When you patch into the network, you will feel light, energy, consciousness coming to you. You don't have to understand from where it comes. It's a gift. There may be some beings who are aware of you, whom you are not aware of, who are aiding you. You don't need to be aware of them. If you need to be aware of them, they'll make themselves known. Sometimes it's better not to know. It just comes and that's enough and it'll get you through. But your part in the network is simply when you could get depressed and feel crummy not to and say no because I'm patched into the network and I want to put in something positive. And instead of just letting yourself go down, think something positive. Be creative. Be excited about your life. So the rule of the network is to put in more energy than you take out. That's what makes the network strong. Is that when we could just give up for ourselves or be frustrated or say, what the hell, we don't. Because we're affecting somebody else. And in this way, the network brings out higher love inside you. And as that higher love evolves, you'll find yourself patching into the network more and more and more. You will find then, as you begin to consciously think of the network and feel it, it's a psychic thing, you'll feel it, that you will begin to meet people who are involved with the network in one way or another. You'll just start to run into them. You'll be drawn to them. It'll happen. Let's say the network arranges everything. It's all taken care of. But the beauty of the system is that you don't have to go to anyone to do it. It's all done wherever you are at any time. It's always there. The networking of higher energies throughout the entire universe is always present. And there's news on the net. If you're into the tech of the net, there's a lot going on. I mean, there are all kinds of transactions taking place on the net. Messages, information. It's not just waves of good energy. I mean, there's billions and zillions of pieces of information being processed. And as you become more sensitive through your psychic development, through your meditation, through, you know, eating at the right restaurants and stuff, gradually you will find that you will become more cognizant of what's passing on the net. But just always try and put in more than you take out. And that makes the net stronger for everybody.
Does the network naturally advance your karma, your soul?
Yes, absolutely. Sure, the network advances your karma and your soul. Yeah, any higher actions, any higher thoughts that you have create good karma. Thought is karma. It engenders states of awareness, which engenders action, which engenders reaction, which of course is karma. So, of course. See, what you're doing is, look, on your own, you're out there an individual perceiver. It's tough out there. You know what I mean? Life is like a big Brillo pad some days. The return of household products. And so, you know, what's a mother to do, right? It's tough. Yeah. So when you plug into the network, of course, you're joining something that it actually is a flow with yourself. It's a higher aspect of life. Just most people on this planet are not too aware of it. But in other spheres, you know, there are universes where everybody meditates, where there's no war, there's none of this nonsense at all. And for them, it's every day. I mean, the network is life. Psychically attuned people, meaning people with higher evolution and higher development, are having a tough time because we're entering a very dark cycle. And it's been getting drastically worse for the last 6 months, honestly. And it's a wonderful time to help people and to aspire. I don't mean to couch it in negative terms. It's not bad, it's just a thing that's happening in life. It's a stage of life. But it's something that has to be dealt with. And people who are not well grounded are going to have a terrible time. In other words, people who are innately psychic and spiritually developed, you know, like my friend over here, maybe they have a gift, they don't understand it. It's going to be very, very confusing. They're so sensitive, and as these energies are shifting and polarizing in the coming times, particularly in the next 30 years, there's a cycle from around 1985 to around 2015. It's going to be very difficult for these people if they don't have a solid practice, you know, meditation every day, whatever it is, people who they share those experiences with, unless they're just very strong perceivers. Because what was easy before and apparent and clear has become very confused. It's not the individual's fault. It's the time. It's something that's just happening right now in our world. That's why more prophecies have been made about the next 30 years than any other period in history. They've been making them for thousands of years about this little 30 or 40 year time period. Because those prophets obviously were psychic and they could see a tremendous energy shift taking place. And so they would then try and interpret that energy shift. Well, they see global this or, you know, that or the other thing. But what they were feeling was an energy shift, which is now taking place. We're in it now. It's begun. And it's an exciting time. It's as easy to attain enlightenment now as it ever was. But if you're not very well grounded, it's confusing. So the first step, I'm giving you a practical suggestion here, I'm just going my usual long way around. The first step is to realize that what's happening is not your fault. In other words, if you're sitting there blaming yourself because you are not used to these states of confusion and suddenly they're occurring, okay, the normal thing to do is just to get down on yourself and get very heavy with yourself and say, oh, it's me, I'm bad, I'm wrong. You'll just begin to have more negative thoughts and negative impressions. They're just more available at the moment. So you need to discriminate. You need to separate yourself and say, no, this isn't me. This is the condition. That in itself will begin to clear things for you. Okay? If you don't understand who's shooting at you, you know, you're in big trouble. Okay? When you understand, you can kind of duck and get out of the way and then eventually, you know, leave the scene. So what's happening is a lot of people are very confused right now. You're going to be seeing it more and more in the coming times. And not just psychic people, I mean, it applies to everyone, but for them it's the most painful because they're aware and they're losing their awareness. It's a very strange thing that's happening. But if you plug yourself more into your practice, basic disciplines, meditation, working on your daily life, plugging into the network, you know, things like that, you'll find it'll really offset it. And what could be a difficult time could be a very exciting and wonderful time. Most of self-discovery is extremely private, in my opinion. And you don't have to start a fellowship or do this or that. Maybe it's just information that's applicable. We're only here for a little while on this earth. You're just here for a few more years. And what's between now and then is personal. It's your experience. And for each person, it's different. Maybe for one person, it's just to be still and to see more of eternity. Maybe it's to love their family more. Maybe for someone else, it's to go on a spiritual quest. Maybe for someone, it's to make a lot of money, to have experiences. It's different for everybody. There's no singular answer. Self-discovery is highly personal. So as you become more aware, that awareness will show you always what is the right thing to do, if you trust it. If you don't trust it, of course, then you don't use it. Oh yeah, there's a definite battle between the light and the dark. Yes, the network always wins though. We run the galaxy. We don't believe that. Well, let's see, that's, which side are you on? But anyway, I don't want to get into politics. So, but I'd like to do another exercise, if I may. I'd like you to focus this time on the very top of the head, this area right here. This is the crown center. And this is the center of spiritual energy. This provides a very different type of experience than focusing. The others are gateways. They're journeying places. This does not so much take you someplace or make you feel something as cause you to become something. You might say it gives the knowledge of the soul, knowledge of light, whatever you prefer. But we move into the spiritual realm. As we explore the psychic realm, it leads us inevitably to the spiritual realm, because all realms are connected. It also leads us to the mystical realm, because all are parts of eternity. And as we go into one part, we see all other parts, all of life is a web, it's connected. So the spiritual exploration of life is something that some people, of course, who are involved in the psychic study move on to. It's sort of the graduate school, and that's the enlightenment process. So just to get a sampling of that, what I'd like to do is to have you focus your attention. Just, you're focusing kind of just above the head, okay? That area. There's a band of energy there. You might say it's another gateway of a certain type of force or energy. Now, these gateways are just things that you walk through. They're in the astral body. But we don't stay with them. We move on to something else, into other dimensional planes or beyond dimensions to nirvana. So I'd like you to focus there, and I'd like you to actually, this time, to visualize something a little bit with your eyes closed. And that's, I'd like you to feel that there's gold, but not a dull gold, but a very bright light, shimmery gold light all around the top of your head. And what it's doing, it's like a rain. It's coming down through the top of your head and soaking through your whole body. And this is the Kundalini. And we're going to bring the Kundalini down instead of up. And as you do this, you'll feel it saturating through your whole body, and it'll just make your body feel really wonderful. And it cleanses the psyche and the spirit. And it works very effectively. Particularly, of course, as all these exercises do with repeated practice. So if you close your eyes, focus your attention on the top of the head, just for a couple minutes, relax a little bit. We've had a lot of exciting, interesting discussion here. And now let's take all that energy and use it to go a step further into the beyond. And so if you'd focus right at the top of the head, and just visualize a kind of a rain of golden light, shimmery light, it's the light of eternity, the light of God or immortality, just passing through you. We are that light. It's our essence, it's our substance. It's beyond words and definition. It is. Before we end our evening, I'd like to give you some thoughts on things you can do to increase your psychic awareness other than practices like the ones we've engaged in. There are many, many things you can do. Some simple ones, of course, include nature. It's a very good idea to spend some time in nature, or let's say not around other people, to clear your energy field. A lot of time is not necessary, but some time. Just even an occasional day where you go for a hike in the desert or by the beach or some place where it's not, when it's not crowded, allows you to feel your own psyche. You see, one of the things that you have to do is figure out which are your thoughts and which are the thoughts of others that other people are thinking that you're just picking up. Because as psychically attuned people, you pick up a tremendous, tremendous amount of thought from others. And most people grow up psychic and they don't realize that they're psychic. And they think or assume that the thoughts in their minds are their own thoughts. Because no one ever walks up to you and says, "Hi, I don't know if you realize this, but you're just a little more sensitive than most people. And you should be aware of that." And also, of course, the society, the world, whatever, we want to conform so badly. A part of us wants to be like everybody else. Not recognizing, of course, that we should just be ourselves, whatever that is. That's the best. That's our own natural evolutionary pattern. So spending some time alone is very good. Trying to spend time with other people, of course, with high psychic energy. Practicing compassion for others, which doesn't mean doing something for everybody or thinking that we're a savior or that, you know, the world smiles on us to help everybody, but rather just sending out, in other words, an understanding, non-judgmental energy to others can make a terrific difference, not only for others, but for your own level of attention. A certain amount of time each day to just reflect. It might just be lying down before you go to bed. It might be practicing an exercise. It might be taking a walk. But reserving a time each day to cleanse your psyche and to renew it. You may engage in, of course, the practice of meditation or something like that, which of course leads to higher development. Or you may just be innately psychic a little bit and just find quiet moments. It depends on what you want, how far you want to go with it. But the thing that you need to watch most carefully are your interactions with others, because people who are psychic, as I suggested, tend to pick up more energy and impressions from others than they realize. And those who affect you the most are the ones you are emotionally close to, and you need not be physically close to people you are emotionally close to. In other words, someone you love or someone you just are open to. Maybe they were a friend 20 years ago, but you've maintained an open dialogue inwardly with that person. But maybe they're not the person they were. Maybe 20 years ago, it was, you know, Susie or Bob was really nice. But maybe their life has led them in another direction. But you're still open and still picking up that energy. So it's a good idea sometimes to just take a piece of paper and write down everybody in your life who you felt really close to. There won't be that many people. And then evaluate that, feel that out, and see how that feels. Is that still viable? Do you still want to feel that open to that individual? I'm not suggesting that you shouldn't feel close to people, but just that you need to be, you have to recognize your sensitivity. It's very important, because if you don't recognize your sensitivity, it gets trashed. You have to recognize that you are sensitive, that you are a bit psychic. Everyone is, but just for you, that evolution is coming out now, that development is happening now. And to pretend it's not there, you'll find you'll get sick more physically because you'll pick up impressions of others, okay? You'll just have a lot more confusion, things like that. This happens to a lot of really nice people who are just too sensitive and too open, and they didn't learn that they have to just lead a slightly more secluded life. As I suggested before, you know, I was kidding around about it, but it is very serious. People with psychic gifts and just these natural abilities have been persecuted in this world for a long time. And it's good to be not too loud about your sensitivity unless that's your calling. Some people, they do that. Some people, that is right for them. They just go into the public view and say, yes, I am this, and that's how it is. And that hopefully gives strength to other people who are the same way. But that's not for everyone to do. You have to gauge what's right for yourself. But it's a good idea to practice inaccessibility, in my opinion. Because otherwise you open yourself up to ridicule, which isn't necessary and won't help that individual or won't help you. It's funny, psychic people are so trusting, so many of them. And I think it's a good thing to be trusting. I'd rather be trusting than not. But I think one can be trusting and a little realistic at the same time. They tend to look at just the good side of people. And that's a wonderful thing to do, and you shouldn't stop doing that. But you should also take a detailed inventory of the other side of the individual, just so you'll know. That's more honest, actually. And then you can actually be a better friend to someone. And also, the other thing to do is to constantly work on the physical. Again, the tendency is to spend too much time in the second attention, to resist wanting to deal with the work world, with the reality of life in the physical. But the physical is God, too. And if you put some time and energy into that, it grounds you, and you'll find that you can traverse higher and higher spheres of attention without getting spaced out, without not fitting into the world. You can do both. You should be able to very articulately if, in fact, you are psychic. And I would suggest that all of you have that propensity, because otherwise power wouldn't have brought you here tonight. Just some thoughts on the way. I'd like to thank you for coming this evening. We've all joined our energies and created something good. How good? You'll find out when you get home. But I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised. You may find yourself in kind of a nice state of attention tomorrow. You may just meditate a little bit and see that there was a lot of light here from a lot of different people, and that, you know, it was networked. This is how networking is done. It happens a lot. A lot of networking happens in sleep, the dream planes. Of course, we didn't even begin to discuss, you know, one can go on and on and on with this material. But in dreaming, a lot of people network with the higher beings or move into other currents, astral currents, to different worlds. Some dreaming is just, of course, the subconscious just playing with images, but sometimes it's journeys into higher reality, particularly in the very early morning hours. Not always, but that's just the psychic time, 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. When the world is asleep, just the frequencies are more clear. It's easier for certain signals to be received, you might say. But then a lot of people then will have dreams later in the morning, of course, that are more earthbound, and you tend not to remember, you know, the earlier, more psychic ones. But certainly any endeavor you make to expand your awareness will just give you a much better life. Certainly it's painful to be aware, of course. Hell yes, it's painful to be aware. But it's also tremendously beautiful. And the two have a funny way sometimes, but not always, of going together. But there's much, much more beauty than pain. But somehow it enlarges us as beings to experience a little bit of pain so we understand the pain of others. You know, we get outside of our own cocoon and see what's out there. And of course the beauty is so incredible if we just become sensitive to it. So recognize you're in a special position, and if you feel that and use that, not as I see it, but as you see it, I'm just here to encourage it. Each person has their viewpoint, their mythology, their way of seeing things. I don't mean to contradict any of them. I just like to join my energy with yours and say it's nice to be here. Good night.